The gospel lesson today comes from the gospel according to Luke. We're in the 19th chapter. We begin at verse 28. Again, I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. And when Jesus had come near Bethphage and Bethany at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it.' So those who were sent departed and found it as Jesus had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owner asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' And they said, 'The Lord needs it.' Then they brought it to Jesus. And after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. And as he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. As Jesus was now approaching the path down from Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, order your disciples to stop.' And Jesus answered, 'I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout.'" May the Lord add his blessing to our hearing of his holy word. Let us pray. O God, I ask that you bless now the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts, that it might be acceptable to you, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Marcus Borg and Dominic Crossan, who are two contemporary theologians. Marcus Borg just passed away last year. Maybe you've heard of him. His first big popular book was inviting us to reconsider Jesus Christ. You know, relook at who it is we say we believe. And he has done a lot of historical research as well as scriptural research in his writings. But he and Dominic Crossan both have invited us to look at what's really happening that Palm Sunday. Because according to the Gospels, it's right before Passover. It's right before all the faithful Jews will come to Jerusalem to be in the temple, to make their offerings and to celebrate the Passover meal together. And since they were in a state of occupation, being part of the Roman Empire, Rome was a little worried about possible insurrections because there'd been zealots throughout Jesus' ministry. And we'll even hear the scripture perhaps this Friday that talks about how the people wanted the murderer and the leader of the insurrection, the zealot Barabbas, to be freed instead of Jesus. You know, there were little uprisings that needed to be quelched. They wanted to maintain Pax Romana. And so most likely the governor, who was in charge of the army, Pilate, needed to be in Jerusalem. He wasn't always in Jerusalem. He didn't live there. It was just one of the places where he had a house and a court and a fortress. But most likely, he needed to be in Jerusalem and bring reinforcements. So Borg and Crossan invite us to see that there's two processions coming into Jerusalem. Coming from the west, towards the fortress that sits on the hill above the temple, looking down on it, is Pilate. Big war horse, chariots, armed men surrounding him, power. You can hear the clanking of everything. Rough stone roads, yeah. trumpeters announcing it. People going into their houses and shutting the doors as it goes past, hoping they aren't noticed. The power of Rome is marching into Jerusalem. I saw this most recent Star Wars movie again, so, you know, in the back of my head, the little background music. Imperial Army, yeah. Because you need background music for something that magical, that powerful. And then from the east, from the Mount of Olives, on a little young donkey that hadn't been ridden before, wearing the clothes of someone who has been on the road for 3 or 4 years, didn't have a whole lot of money to start with, comes Jesus, picking his way down the hill, going slow, hoping not to get bucked off. Rocky path. Not a paved road for the empire. A rocky path that the everyday people used to go up and down to the olive orchards to tend to their trees. They put cloaks on him, on the donkey, so that it'd be easier for Jesus. They put cloaks on the path so it'd be easier for the unshod hooves of the colt. Branches to honor him and wave. They made their own procession, their own party. And you can just see it as they sang hymns similar to the ones we've just sung, which are beautiful but kind of simple, not the big Star Wars music background stuff. Just simple songs that children could sing. Words that they all knew from the Psalter that expressed their hope and their joy and their commitment and their celebration of God's commitment to them. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Headed to the temple as well, because we know that in this Holy Week, Jesus spends his time in the temple, teaching, healing. Coming from the east, down an ordinary path, worn in the hillside by the laborers, headed to a temple, bringing Pax Christi, the peace of Christ. The other, all the might and power of warriors coming to a fortress sitting on a hill above a temple. All the pomp and ceremony of bringing Pax Romana. Wow. What a day. What a day. Particularly in our funeral services in the United Church of Christ and at committal services, whatever denomination, when we're burying the remains of those who have died, we say, Christ's peace I leave with you. What do we mean by that, really? Are we talking about peace that has no war? Are we talking about peace that has no conflict? Or are we talking about a peace that's deep in our very soul, that heals the pain of loss, that eases the burdens of earthly life, that helps us know with confidence we aren't alone, that something else is there helping us to be content or accepting, or maybe not quite so painfully wounded that we might find a hope that we're on the path towards healing. You see, I think that's the core of the peace of Christ. It's not about suppressing people. It's not about avoiding conflicts. It's not about wars or lack thereof. It's about each one of us having that little place deep inside that recognizes our brokenness and brings to it the hope and the healing that we so desperately need. Yes, today is the first day of our Holy Week adventure. It is the first scene, if you will, in the story that we're going to tell another scene on Thursday evening and Friday afternoon, and then conclude it with the climax on Easter Sunday. And while we cry and wish for and hope for and want Jesus to be triumphal in his entry into Jerusalem, and every year I keep thinking, maybe this year it won't be the same. Maybe we'll skip Friday. We'll just, you know, go to the glory of it all. But we won't. We're going to go through Friday. Because just as we live with our own lives, our own stresses and our own burdens and our own worries, we have to go through those to get to the healing. During Holy Week, I invite us to not only reflect on our palms and the joy of hope that Jesus is the Christ, but to also reflect on the ways that we sometimes, maybe through no other choice than that we live, end up being part of the parade that goes to the fortress. Part of the earthly powers, part of the things that take us away from our God. That we too might see ourselves in the story. May we all know Pax Christis. May we all know it. Not only today, but in all the days to come. Amen.